So I'd like for you to turn with me to Luke chapter 1, if you would. Luke chapter 1 and verse 28. And we'll read verse 28 through 31. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. If the angel of the Lord came to us and said some of this stuff, you know, how would you handle it? Well, I mean, many people have done that. They've done it in the sense of they'll get a word from the Lord or something, and it always comes back to us instead of to him. But this message is about him, and it's about her relationship to help him come forth more into this earth. Amen? For him to come forth more into this earth. And so we would tend to latch on to some of the words like, blessed art thou, you know. If we were Mary, blessed art thou. We'd go, oh, yeah, I'm so blessed, you know. And thou art highly favored. Oh, yeah, I'm a man of God or whatever. I'm a woman of God. We jump into those areas so quickly. But the beautiful thing is, and I don't know if you noticed it, so I'll read it again. But the beautiful thing is that Mary did not do that. She didn't do that. She wasn't hearing, oh, God's going to make me great, or God's going to bless me, or I'm the anointed of God, or, he's going to shower me with all the things that I need. In fact, it says when the angel said unto her, When the angel said unto her, Thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. It says, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. He's saying all this great stuff about her. You know? But she's not taking it personally. She's not taking it. In fact, she's looking at it like, I'm not sure if this is God if you're saying I'm all that good. There's none good but God. And every one of us that are born again have Christ in us. And is he good or not? Hallelujah. the wording here, she was troubled and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this is. We and many Christians do hear from God, or we'll get a word from God or whatever else. And, you know, my experience within the church, and I don't know all Christians and I don't know all churches, but I've been around a little while since I was in my early 20s. And most of the words we get from the preacher or whatever are, you know, great words of what God's going to do for you, or how he's going to just, you know, fix this. He's going to all these things in that vein. But I mean, what if God ever just said, you know, you're in trouble or you need my son, or, you know, my spirit is on you so that you won't be in the center. But we don't hear a lot, but she heard that. She heard that the son was coming, and she said that she cast in her mind, what kind of saying is this? That I'm in the center. But she found out very quickly that it wasn't her. It wasn't about her. It was about her being a vehicle of something that was great to God. And that's his son. So she didn't miss it. Misapply the word. Thank you. Because that's right. It's so easy to read something, and somehow, because we are self-focused human beings, we have to see us in there, or we have to get something out of it for us, instead of just saying, I lay down everything. I lay down my life, I lay down everything, my time, so that Jesus might be more glorified in this earth. Hallelujah. So, turn with me. I'm going to go through a few scriptures here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in 2 Corinthians, we're going to see sort of the spirit of really what this is about. But we'll look at several scriptures. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're just going to look at, well, we'll look at verse 7 first. And this is Paul speaking to the church, And he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Can y'all say not of us?
Not of us.
Is that good to say that? Is that refreshing to say not of us? Not me focused. But we have, and we do, we have this treasure. We have it. We have it. It's Jesus. If we're born again, you got him in there. We have him. But he's the treasure. And the place that we get off is that we think, you know, because I have Jesus in me, then I'm the treasure or something. I don't know. You know, that we're, you know, we're just great people. You know, and then you can, you know, pastor can stand in front of the church and say, we are a great people here. Well, I wish I could say that. We're a needy people, but we're a hungry people. We're a hungry people, and we ain't slowing down. But we have this treasure. Oh, thank God. Thank God that we call what's inside of us the treasure. The treasure. But what does it call us? An earthen vessel. An earthen vessel. Lord, couldn't you say something better about me? Couldn't you say something nicer? Well, that it doesn't get any better. You are a carrier of the Son of God, and the life of Jesus is in you and in me. And there is nothing greater in this earth. We have this treasure, even if it's in an earthen vessel. Part of the problem is that we read that, and then we spend the rest of our Christian life trying to improve the earthen vessel. You know, we try to stick jewels on it, you know what I mean, and try to, you know, get a gold clip so that this earthen vessel can look better. Or we think this is the way we think as Christians. We think God's, the whole point is to improve me, when it's not to improve you. It is to bring forth an increase of Christ. You say, well, will I, you know, do better or whatever? Well, in some cases, but in many cases, it's going to be him in you that's producing the good stuff. Have you ever done something, you know, and it was really a blessing to somebody or whatever, and you kind of thought about it later and went, well, that was the Lord. You know, I mean, I remember in my early days when the preacher was preaching, and he was talking about some of this modern day music, which this is a long time ago. So this is it is now classic rock. And I felt bad and everything, so I took all of my cassettes and then later CDs, and I threw them all away. And I remember, like, about 3 weeks later going, what have I done? I love that music. You know, so anyway, I bought CDs later, and I still listen to it. But this is declaring, It doesn't just say we have this treasure in earthen vessel. He gives us the reason why. So the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We say, well, you know, that power was of God, but somehow there's a of us still in there. There's me. I'm in it, you know. But he's put in there so we can say, not of us. But to do that means you have to have a life that is doing it. Amen? And that life is a treasure to the Father and should become that to us. So that we don't want to put our earthen hands to the things that he wants to do. You know, I don't know if you saw, it would be like in England when the Queen Mother first got the crown, and they got ready to put it on her, and they handed it to her to put it on or whatever, and her hands are just muddy and filthy and greasy, like she'd been working on a car or something, you know. Which is totally impossible, I know. In that. But we're just making stuff up here as we go. But it would be, should our hands, should it be of us? Should our hands be on a whole lot that he's doing, as if, you know, his nail-scarred hands, and we have to reach into his hand and guide it? He knows what he's doing. But we're worried because, you know, we still look like an earthen vessel, or we still need improvement, you know. We have cracks in an earthen vessel. You know, y'all have cracks in you? You know, because we're earthen, you know. It cracks me up that you have cracks. Anyway, because we're an earthen vessel. And I remember years ago talking to a couple of people, and we were talking about this earthen vessel thing, but they were saying, you know, I'm praying to the Lord. You know, they're looking at me and saying, after I'd shared, I'm praying to the Lord that he will mend all these things, all these cracks and these, you know, open spaces and everything. And I said, we talked about it. It's Christ in you. He's the treasure. And I said, if he's the light, you know, if he is the light, then he's going to shine out of your cracks. Is that possible?
Yes.
Could we trust him that way? Could we live in trust that way, so it's not I, but Christ? Well, that's the blessing that he put in us, not just gave to us. You're saved, okay. Well, you know what? You want to go to heaven like you were when you first got saved? No. You want Christ formed in you. You want to be a member of his body, and you want to flow with that spirit. So, also in verse 5 here, since we're in 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 5. And this is just a few verses apart. We read 7, this is 5. For we preach not ourselves. What? You know, I've had people, I'm sorry, but I've been in great conferences with great speakers, and I've heard one, you know, at least one, say, you know, I am God's anointed. He said that to the congregation, to a great big gathering of people that had come from. I am God's anointed. Do you know the anointed means Messiah? You're the Messiah? Really? You think pretty highly of yourself there, don't you? You're not the Christ. You're not him. You're not the treasure. Why are you touting yourself? Why not say, the anointed lives in me. And if he chooses to touch your life, then that's his business. But we, you know, no, we have to be a treasure. No, we don't. Can't we just be satisfied that God put his son in us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We preach not ourselves. And that could be translated as we don't preach on fixing up the earthen vessel. Remember, these are only two verses apart. We don't preach fixing up the earthen vessel. We preach an increase of Christ. And that's in His timing, because He knows where you're at and when you're at and when you're open and when you're not and, you know, all those kind of things. So we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants. He didn't say we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and we are His servants. He says we preach not ourselves, but we preach that we are your servants for Jesus' sake. We will serve you. We will serve one another. And we'll do it gladly. And I know that you do it. I mean, I'm not standing up here doubting you, because I see you. I see you lay down your life. I see you give. I see you lose so that others might gain. But let's keep going, amen? Let's keep growing. So Mary didn't misapply the word that she got from the Lord. I remember also when I was very young, I grew up in Oak Cliff, which is a really rough area, but I heard that there was this storefront guy who just rented it for like the weekend, and he was the apostle so-and-so, so-and-so, and he was going to be preaching. And he got up there, and I mean, we did Jericho marches. Anybody know what a Jericho march is? You know, we're marching around, and everybody's clapping, and everybody, you know, and all of this. But there was not a mention of Jesus. There was no mention of the Lord. It was all about Christian things, but there's no, you know, I mean, you take Christ out of, I said this recently, if you take Christ out of Christianity, all you have is anity. Anyway, so Mary didn't misapply the word that came from God, that came to her. Okay. Well, guess what? Paul didn't either. The Apostle Paul didn't either. Let's go to Galatians. We'll go to Galatians chapter 2. Most of you know what's coming. The train. So Galatians in chapter 2, verse 20. And this is Paul speaking. I am crucified with Christ. Okay? Do you think that he believed that his whole existence on the earth? Well, he believed he was crucified, but he didn't misappropriate that comes afterwards. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in heaven. Is that what it says? No, it says not I, but Christ lives in me. Yeah. I am crucified with Christ, not because of my sinful ways or my sinful life, but only for one reason, so that you being crucified means Christ can live in you. Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's called good news. It's called good news to some Christians, you know. But it's good news to Paul. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he is in us so he can live. He's not in us just so that we can... You know, I don't know. I mean, it almost seems like people don't even think about the fact that he's supposed to be living in us. You know, I mean, it's like, I live for Jesus. I live for Jesus. I live for Jesus. You know, I went to church, you know, and I've only missed one service in the last week. Or whatever. But I thought about it, you know. But the Super Bowl was on. Anyway, so we were crucified. Not because he's mad at us or he hates us, but because the Father wants his Son. This is my beloved Son. All the people were there at the baptism of Jesus. And God comes up. First time it says that God just, you know, opened up the heavens, decided to talk to us. The Jews didn't know there was a you know, Father and a Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, they got a dose right there. God opens up and John the Baptist is there and everybody's coming out to see him. And I'm sure there's great people among them. And God says, that's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So he puts him in us. So, amen, let's do it. And might I add then, and then thank God that he puts him in us. So, let's say I wrote, it is because we were not, it's not that we were sinful. It's not a negative. He wanted us to have a better life. Now, you say that to some congregations and they go, hey, man, I want a better life. I want to start driving a Cadillac, or if they got a Cadillac, I want to go up to a Ferrari or whatever. You know, I want a better life. I want this better, and I want that better for my life, and I want this better for my life. But he gave us a better life, which is Christ. So, you know, what life do we live now? According to this, a life of faith in his life. It's written there. It's written there. Faith. That he loved us and he gave himself for us. And then he put him in us. So to what end? That the ones who are living as the life may take their place as earthen vessels. That the ones, and that would be Christians, who are the Christians that are living as if they are the life. As if they are the life. That they may take their place as an earthen vessel. And to be joyful about it. You know? Regardless of your condition. See, we're so worried about our condition. But he put his Son in us. So, I'm a mess. Fix me. He goes, nope, here. And is there improvements? Well, yeah, I used to go to bars and cuss and stuff like that, you know. So Colossians chapter 1. Turn with me if you would, please. Colossians chapter 1. And this is just verse 26 and 27. And in these two verses is going to be a blessing to some of you who've been in my Thursday night class about the world of Dunn, because it kind of does a little division here so we can see some things more clearly. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, which now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, so there's two things mentioned there. How many of you think you saw the two things? Okay, all none of you. All right, so, and that's why I'm the pastor. Okay, so there's this mystery about something that happened from ages and generations past. Okay, and that mystery is that we are in Christ. We are in Christ. But it goes on to say, but now is made manifest to his saints to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. So there's the mystery and there's the riches. The mystery of it is that we were placed in Christ. The riches of it is that Christ is in us. All right, so it goes on to say, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. The hope of glory is not you being saved, or the hope of glory isn't that God will come down and fix your circumstances and or make you a better person. The riches of the glory of that is that it is Christ in you. Are you the Christ? No. Am I?
No.
Do you hear how convincing that was? Because they're going... They're on to me. They figured me out. All right. So that being said, and talking about what Paul got and what Mary got. Now let's hear what Jesus addresses the same area. Let's go to John chapter 15. John 15. And we'll do verse 4. Gospel of John, verse 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. That's Jesus. You say, well, I don't know about Mary. She was a woman. Or I don't know about Paul. He was an apostle. You know, it doesn't matter the way you look at it. This is Jesus, and Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to his disciples. See, Paul was talking to his disciples when he was writing out all of this. And you know, but Jesus, this is what he taught. This is what he's preparing them for. And that is, I need to be in you. You are in me. You are in me. But I need to be in you. And you need to start living not like the tree or the glorious, fruitful apple tree or something. You need to be living like a branch, like a vessel. It, folks, don't be scared. It's the better way. Jesus is way better than me or you or, you know. It's the best way. And it's easier. But notice that it says, I abide in you. And then you shall bring forth fruit, because the fruit is the fruit from him. It's his fruit. It's not our fruit. We're all trying to be fruitful. You know, we're a bunch of fruitcakes almost, but we're trying. We're trying to be fruitful. And you know, we've got a good heart in the sense of we want this for the Lord, but it's still focused on us. So Jesus is saying, you need to let me be the life that's in you as you, the branch. And I will bring forth fruit. But if you don't, as a branch, that is not letting me live in you, you can do nothing. Say, yeah, I'm doing all, I'm going to church and I'm giving so much and I'm helping a lot of people. Well, if it's coming out of you and you don't realize it's Christ and you're not saying, Lord, reveal your Son more and more in me, then it's, I'm just quoting Jesus. It's nothing. So, I'm going to read this little statement I made. The vine contains the life. It also fills the branch. Two things. It contains the life and it fills the branch with this life. But the branch bears or brings forth the fruit, meaning it comes through them because of the life that's in them. But it's not their fruit. If they didn't have any sap in them, if they didn't have any life in them, there's not going to be any fruit. All right. So, it manifests the life in terms of fruit, and both are necessary, I and you, and you and me. So, with that being said, and with what Mary gathered, so what course does Mary take after she hears this message from God that whatever your life was before, nothing from heaven ever showed up before. What is your life going to be now? How are you going to manifest this life? Well, she becomes the queen mother. No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't. No, no, no. She is still the vessel. She's just a vessel. And she seemed to be okay with it. I mean, she's questioning, what are you declaring me for? And saying all this good stuff about me. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear that the Son's going to come forth. So what does she do? Well, she takes on the ministry called, eventually, travail. Travail. Isn't that a great ministry? Because it's going to be, what's inside her is going to manifest outside of her. And that's Jesus. That's Jesus. And it takes away everything else. I mean, she's eating certain things so that the life in her would grow. Right? She's not smoking cigarettes because they weren't invented back then. And because if they were, you know, it'd be bad for her kid or whatever. You know, on and on and on. There's a whole lot of things that you would do with only one thing in mind, and it is the care of what God has put inside of you. And it's not works, it's care for Jesus. It is not just doing good things in the church or, you know, in the Bible class or any of that kind of stuff. It is one thing, the scope, the idea of it, the very meaning of it is towards him, but him that's in you. Now, let me make one thing clear here. In truth, you know, I was using last time, and I've kind of said a few things right here that makes it sound like when, you know, Jesus comes into you, that he grows in you. But in truth, Jesus is full and complete when he comes in you. You and me are the ones that are growing in the nature and in the reality of Jesus, who is our life, not Jesus up above. Or when are you coming back? Well, in one sense, he's already here. Yes. You know, if we leave that one out and we just stand around going, oh, come on back. You know, the world's getting bad. Well, it is, but he considers it getting bad because you're not focusing on life. You're focusing on the problem. When you see these things coming on the earth, look up. Look up. Let's say it together. When you see these things coming on the earth,
look up.
Why? Because that's where Jesus is. Instead of going, oh my God, this is it. Oh, what are we going to do? Well, hopefully nothing except let Jesus live in you. Well, what does that look like? Well, let him, you know, that's where the growth is needed. But if you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you've got the full Jesus. All right. So back to Galatians. I can't remember if I... Yeah, okay. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 4. And because we're talking about Mary, and we're talking about, you know, everything she's doing before Jesus comes forth is to facilitate his life in her. If she's not healthy, the baby's not going to be healthy. But she's also doing something else. She is trying to prepare him for coming forth out of her. Amen? And to do that is going to have to be travail. It's a giving up of certain things, if you will. Spiritually, it is. It is a giving up of our religious way of seeing thing, and just digging into the Word. I mean, you just start getting into the Word and go, oh, I didn't know that was there. Or, wow, look at what that scripture's saying. Or, you know, and it's like, woo, whoopee, you know. So she's going into travail. But look at Galatians 4:19. This is Paul speaking. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Okay, so we can read that and think, okay, well, Christ is, you know, he has to grow in me or whatever. But the forming of Christ in you is the divine revelation and the Holy Spirit beginning to awaken us. Very simply, to life. I mean, when I first got saved too, I mean, I was, you know, I did a lot of bad stuff, you know, and I needed Jesus. And when I got Jesus, I really felt like, you know, I've got life. And I said to everybody, I have life. What's the difference here? I have life. I did. I had Jesus in me, but he wasn't formed in me yet. And the life that I was having was, well, I used to go down to the bars and sing, you know, bawdy songs and now go to church and I sing good songs. So I've got the life, you know. Well, I mean, but it wasn't the life. And I really didn't know anything about Jesus being formed in me. I just assume I got him in there and he'll pop out when he needs to. You know, oh, here's a crisis. Where are you? You know, rather simplistic. Okay, but still, well, and you know, you go to church. You go, okay. I hope they're going to have a time of laying on of hands, you know, and praying and stuff. Well, that's fine, but you know, it's like we're still trying to get Jesus somehow, who's up there, to fix my life down here. Do you see the contradiction of that? How about, Father, reveal your Son in me, which is in the Scriptures, in the New Testament, those kind of words. Reveal your Son in me. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your Word, which would pertain, because David, who wrote that, is always talking about the Lord. It's always the thing, you know? His version of, you know, joy is, my cup runneth over. In other words, an earthen vessel that's full up with something that's just flowing out. flowing out. Hallelujah. And he pours at times we don't even know he's pouring. And he comes forth in times that we would never have thought to come forth. But it's life, not works. It's not, you know, it's not just saying, okay, well, I'm going to go to church today. And since it's Randy's birthday, I'm going to give him a $100 bill. In other words, I'm trying to say pre-planning Jesus. But it's not really Jesus, it's us. Pre-planning a good thing so that people will see that I really love the Lord and I'm a good Christian and, you know, instead of, I have this treasure in earthen vessels and the excellency of the power of that life is not of me. You'd be surprised how much more he pops out. You'd be walking down the road and see somebody and the Lord will say, go give them $100 or something like that. Do you see what I mean? It's spontaneous. It's life. And, you know, you can see, sometimes you can go into a church and they're shouting and everything, but you don't sense life. And I'm not being critical. I'm just saying, surely you've experience that. You just go in and you know, it's like, okay, I like this song, but you know, it's lifeless. But I told our people a long time ago when we would gather on Sunday, and I said, I want to encourage you to share. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, we want to hear from you. And some of you who were around in those days remember that I said, it's not the quantity or the great thing that you say. I said, if you stood up and all you knew to say was Jesus saves and that flowed out of your heart, it would be like, you know, knocking me backwards because it's Jesus, you know. Because that's worth everything. That's worth everything to hear life out of his body. Anyway, so, for some reason I've ended up in Galatians and I'm... what? Yeah, I'm going to move on from travail. That hurts. Galatians 1, verse 15 and 16. And we're getting close to ending, so this is my first ending. Are we there? All right. Galatians 1, verse 15 and 16. He's talking about his experience. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. There's a lot of stuff right there. You know, first of all, he's talking about when it pleased God, this stuff happened. See, we go, there's a need right now. You got to move. There's got to, you know, this and that. Well, let's wait on God's good pleasure. His timing is big with God. You know that. But it's his, has to be his timing. But he says, and so with him, it's about pleasing God. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. So notice, called me by his grace. So this is some of the very earliest things that God is doing in Saul of Tarsus, Paul's life. And simple grace is there, isn't it? Say, so we would say, well, the main thing is you need to get saved. You know, God is calling you by his grace. So, you know, let's pray this prayer and then everything is going to, you know, work its way out. Well, He didn't stop. He didn't stop with that. He says, verse 16, well, let me read 15 into it. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, for what end? To reveal his son, not to me. Now, when Paul first met Jesus, he was revealed to Paul, wasn't he? Because he was on a donkey and, you know, Jesus showed up and he goes, oh, there he is. But he's going beyond the salvation experience. He's talking about the rest of his life. So he goes, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Do you look at that verse? I want you to look at the part where it says in verse 16, to reveal his son in me, and then look at that I might preach him. Who was he preaching? He wasn't preaching the one that was revealed to him. He told two times at least in the book of Acts, he told his story. But one of them for sure, in fact, I think most of them, he wasn't trying to convince people to get saved. He's trying to convince them not to kill him. But anyway, he says to reveal his son in me, I called you, this is God speaking to him, I called you by grace, by my grace for a purpose. And it wasn't just to save you. I called you by my grace to reveal my son in you. That's the Father speaking. There it is. Okay? And so then he goes on to say, that I might preach him among the heathen. And so he's not preaching his salvation experience. He's preaching the one who was revealed in him. Can I get an amen? He's preaching the one who is in him. It says it, you know. One of the things I say sometimes when I do conferences is, that's always been in your Bible. I didn't write it last night in your Bible. It's always been there. All of these scriptures are there. And they're all in different books and different places. And it's all the same heart of the Lord. Paul had his son revealed in him so that he would preach. The revealed son needs to happen, not just being called by his grace. One more verse here. And this is chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. And then, Lord willing, it will be my third ending. Galatians 4. 5 through 7, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Okay, so he talks about being redeemed. He talks about adoption. But he says, because you are sons, because you are sons, which would say that you're born again. If you're born into the family, you're a son. Okay. But he says, because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son. The Spirit of his Son. That's not talking about the Holy Spirit. That's talking about the Spirit of the Son of God into your hearts, doing what? Crying, Abba, Father. This is not a salvation experience. This is a growth in the Lord, where you get to a place where God is revealing, He's opening the Word, and you're seeing it, and you're going, oh my God, and it's you are in me, and I am this not by myself, and I don't have to bear the weight and the burden of trying to do all these works and produce all this ministry and do these things right here. I don't have to bear all of that. I just want to believe and be with the Son that you put in me. And then that Son starts crying, Abba, Father. You know, it's like, if you'll shut up, Randy, Jesus will cry, Abba, Father. This is it. This is where He's the Father. We call Him the Father, don't we? How many of you call God the Father? This is what do you think the Father would want? Okay, let me give you two. This is my third ending. What do you think the Father would want if He had only one choice of the two? The salvation of all mankind or His Son? Because they were together in eternity. They are one. They are that's my beloved Son. And He didn't say, you know, this is my beloved Son, you know, get saved. He said at the Mount of Transfiguration, He said, hear Him. This is the life that's your life. This is who you are now. Stop being just a Christian. Start being an earthen vessel. It's beautiful. And it's not hard. So I'm going to end with that.